Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm joined this afternoon by Sherry Huber, who is here to talk with us about her brand new blog that you just posted, I think, last night. Sherry, welcome.
Yes, that's exactly so.
So it's fabulous, which, I know I don't have to say. I'm speaking to the choir when I'm on the radio show, I'm sure. But I will tell you.
But it's always nice to let me know that.
That's true.
People assume that I would assume that, but I wouldn't assume that.
We don't assume.
We don't assume, and because, we say what we see from our own perspective, and then we forget that everybody doesn't share our perspective, and then somebody might hate it or whatever. So it's nice to hear that you enjoyed it.
I definitely did. And I'll tell you one of the things that strikes me just generally, first of all, that it's, I'm always struck when I read something like that, that there's nothing in it that is brand new that I haven't heard in practice and I haven't, but there's something about the way, in this case, you have put the ideas and the, the ideas together that feels like it offers a fresh mirror, a fresh lens, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that I'm so struck by. It really, really lays out for me what we're all up against, how we go about recognizing what we're up against,
mm-hmm.
where to go next with that, and then how to stay living in that place that we learn to live in a sustainable way.
Yes.
And what I've noticed about it over just reading it last night and then working with it over, since then, is that it keeps dropping in, and that's, I think, what happens with a new lens, is that it's this big assistance to come back to beginner's mind, where conditioning hasn't caught on to the program yet, because it's always lagging behind.
Yes.
But it's like like something like this blog reaches out to the person who really wants to practice and offers us like a fresh lens for a period of time to see clearly again, and it's so much fun.
Yeah. When you say that, Jen, I think, here the blog came out and the first class of the email class. In our practice, I think we are fresh lens specialists.
Seriously,
truly. And I know, some of my great spiritual heroes said the same thing, the same six words over and over every time they talked to somebody for an entire lifetime. And they were fabulously successful. Centuries later, I still know what they said. So it's not obviously not necessary to come up with new ways to say things. And I find it helpful. So, people would think, I knew that. I knew what I wrote in that blog. And then I just waited until this time to write it down. But actually, two or three people said something to me in rapid succession that caused me to see what I wrote about. And it's one of those where, life just drops it in full sentences and paragraph after paragraph. But it was a new lens for me, and exactly the way you expressed it. There isn't anything in it that we don't know, that we don't say, right? You say it to people, I say it to people, we say it to each other all the time. And yet it comes together at the right time,
yeah,
with the right phrasing,
yeah,
and we see it with fresh eyes, and we're inspired. We see what we've already seen, but we see it anew, and we see it at a deeper level, and it,
yeah,
strengthens our practice.
Yes, and as you say that, well, both as I'm listening to you talk, I'm having the exact same experience as when I read the blog, which is that it takes me to the place that,
yes,
we're practicing to live in.
Yes, yes. And it is a place, isn't it?
It is.
It's funny because it would be helpful if it had an address. and we could just put it into our Google Maps and go there.
Yeah.
It doesn't work quite like that, but it is nonetheless a very real place. And we know when we're in that place and that there is that feeling of, yes, there's clarity.
Well,
in
and
that,
you know,
but
that's interesting that you use that image of we wish it had an address, because one of the things that strikes me about this blog is that it feels like it has some very clear road markers.
Yes.
It has it has big signs on the roads that just you might not want to go down these roads.
Right. Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Especially, and I love the part about, I mean, this isn't how you said it, but basically, if you've been down those roads, you don't need to go down them again.
Yeah.
And so don't do it. And
yeah,
I mean,
and that was the most important part, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Huge. I mean, for people who are new to practice, I think it's helpful to know that it's that clear cut.
Yep.
Because it is. It is that clear cut. We're either identified or we're disidentified.
Yep.
This is what disidentified looks like, and this is what identified looks like. And we can pretty quickly catch on. Now, it's true that when we're newer to practice, it's hard to recognize when I'm caught in a conditioned thinking pattern because I've always just thought it was me.
Exactly.
So it's helpful for us to pay attention to those kinds of things until we go, oh yeah, when I'm noodling about that relationship I was in high school, I can know that I'm not centered.
I won't give it away, but that's one of the things that's really helpful about the blog is that they're very clear, this, I mean, clear clues that we can go back to. You know, it's one of those print it out big and post it on your wall kinds of things.
Well, that's, in fact, when we talked about us talking about this on Good News Update, I thought, oh, that's what I was originally going to do with all of that, is just write it on a great big piece of paper and hang it on my wall.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, it. I want to practice with that, and then I realized I forgot to do that.
Well, that was very generous of you to share it for all of our walls.
Yeah, I don't want to be the only one with great walls, you know. Yeah.
So there are the road signs. You know, you might not want to go down these roads, but then at the end, boy, to me, and I've really been actually using it. There sort of is an address given at the end, it feels like, of because there's that place of when you really get it that, okay, I really don't want to turn my attention there. I really don't want to. And in my experience, you do have to get to that place of really wanting to end suffering more than you want whatever it is, the content that conditioning says you want.
Yes. Yeah.
But once you
and
get
when
there,
we've reached that place, then it's very helpful to know that there's a clear something to do.
Yes, exactly.
Right, because we're heavily conditioned to do. Ego loves to get us to do. So now there's something actually in practice to do, and it'll take us where we want to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I watched just this afternoon, you know, just a very familiar sort of groove come in, but immediately it just dropped in. Oh, okay. This is that place where Sherry was saying it would be handy to know where do you want to be. This is not where I want to be.
right. So after I wrote that, this next thing dropped in. So not to get terribly political, but for anybody who's interested in this kind of thing, I just read where the Nike shoe company is basically decimating the kangaroo population of Australia to make football shoes.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, that kind of thing is upsetting to me. And so I chose not to do this but what I really thought about doing was the next blog on just do it. Because without all of the, you know, not the no pain, no gain aspect of it, but that really is, I mean, they got it right. That is what we have to do. We have to just do it. Get out of the about it and just do what we know needs to be done. So
that was the other piece of it for me, is that it really feels like it fits in with the elite athlete kind of approach of no, there's nothing. I mean, you do this whole string of, you know, let it go, completely drop it. There's nothing there. There's nothing else to see. I mean, we just have to get to that place of it's the warrior place. You know, sometimes it's just completely available to us. Yeah, I mean, why would I want to believe those silly voices and just be in the present moment? But sometimes it really does require that, no, I am not going there. I am not leaving here.
And when you bring up the spiritual athlete, and this year is upping our game, and this particular email class and the things we've been doing since the first of the year are focused on nutrition and fitness and that sort of thing. We really are up against it on every level because, you know, I have this commitment to exercise. And, of course, karmic conditioning is going to just, you know, kick up. I don't want to. I don't feel like, as the person suggested for the name of our last book, you can't make me. And we have to actually step up and say, you know, we're not indulging that any longer because this is the commitment I've made. This is the person whose salvation I'm working out diligently. And I know how to do that. It's up to me. Nobody else can or will do it for me. And so I'm going to do what I said I was going to do.
Which is
that's just all there is to it.
It's so inspiring. It's so inspiring. I mean, that is a process that builds on itself. The more we do that,
yes.
So the more just exciting that becomes. My gosh, I can actually do this. The voices aren't in charge of my life.
I can trust myself.
Yeah.
I can trust myself. I am a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we must hasten to add, does not mean turning it into a self-hating contest.
Yeah.
So, there will be times when I get fooled and there will be times when it doesn't go the way I want it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that the next morning I don't wake up still the person who's committed, still the person with the program.
Yeah.
And I just get right back on the horse and gallop off.
Because the thing that's so amazing about that is that waking up to that, you know, whether literally waking up in the morning to it or just, you know, becoming aware, oh, wow, conditioning had me for a while. There's another chance to go to the warrior place because, of course, conditioning wants to go to the self-hate place. And to say, no matter what, I am not going there. I am
right.
not going there. And that's another place to just flex that warrior muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to indulge whining about what didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in what didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in how I got fooled. I'm not interested. I don't want to be in that relationship. I want to be in the relationship of this is who we are and this is what we're doing right now, here.
Yeah. And then turning towards Sangha. You know, I mean, we're an entire Sangha of people doing that this year together.
Mm-hmm.
Read the RNL blog. Listen to the radio show, read Sherry's blog, you know, go to Sangha. What are my fellow warriors doing out there?
Right.
Get some support. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are up against the hour. So anything
good.
Else you wanted to say about it before we transition?
I just don't think so. I just hope people do read it and they do enjoy it and they do get out their art supplies and make a great big poster and put it up in a prominent place. So for as long as that inspiration lasts, we're inspired by it. And then we know that a new lens is on its way. We can look through that and be inspired again and just keep on going.
Exactly. Well, much gratitude as always, Sherry, for sharing it with us.
Oh, you are so welcome, Jen. Thank you.
And have a great show. And we'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Sherry.
You are welcome.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Now, I'll pretend I wasn't just that person, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Hey there.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm great.
Good.
I'm
good.
Great.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
great to read that blog, too.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
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 It was fun to do it.
You know, I had an interesting experience last night. There were a couple of content things that happened yesterday, and I got pretty deeply identified in a way that I usually don't. And even through that, I knew that, you know, as you often talk about, when I'm in a suffering place, it's good to remember that the other place is possible.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And I just, at some level, knew, well, you know, this is going to pass through.
Yeah. This will pass. I'll see whatever I see about it. And I'll go on with my life. And so in the interim, given that I know how all of this works, what would I rather be giving my life force to right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as I've also heard you talk about, when I am, quote, disidentified, unquote, what am I identified with then?
Mm-hmm.
What am I still assuming? What is still there for me to see?
Yeah, because there's another level, isn't there? There's
sure
always
there
I can yeah I can always be more present. I can always be attending more closely. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah,
and it's fun. That's the thing. So I've been working diligently on a project that is not a well kept secret at this point. It's the what universe are you creating? Zen and the Art of Recording and Listening that we're getting ready to publish shortly, and I've been really working to get through that before the email class responses start, which will be tomorrow. And I have no idea why I was telling you that, because it was one of those where I gave such a nice long, you know, picture for you to join in. But I suppose that the connection is just being immersed in attempting to assist people to realize how much more pleasant, how much happier it is, how much more fun it is to be paying close attention to life in the moment than it is to be giving our attention to whatever is going on in our heads that karmic conditioning would have us believe is more compelling, more interesting, more exciting, more whatever. There's just nothing more pleasant than being present.
Yes, that's quotable too.
It is kind of one of those bumper sticker T-shirt moments.
And nothing more pleasant than being present.
Yeah, I like it, and it's true. It has the merit of being true.
Yes.
So even if there's nothing going on, as you say, you know, it's fine. I'm living a great life, and I know it. Okay, can I be a little more with life? You know, we don't want to be greedy, but, you know, if we're being greedy for being more unconditionally loving and more grateful and more present and more compassionate and more in loving, I think we can be forgiven for that kind of greediness.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Join us for virtual meditation groups. Meditate with Sangha no matter where you live.
Yeah,
which
I've been
doing,
hearing good.
And it's great.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good, because I've been hearing really good things about it. People are loving it.
Yeah, it's great to have a time and something to go for, and you know other people are going to be there, and so you want to show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if nothing else, you know that facilitator is going to be there.
Yeah.
And you just don't want him or her to be feeling like the Lone Ranger.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And information about that program is on the homepage at livingcompassion.org.
Mm.
And there is still space in the July There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. That's July 5th through 12th. Discover how to let go of self-hate in this foundational retreat.
And do you have more on that, Michael, or more?
No,
on...
I do not.
Okay, well then I want to give a big plug here. We just got back from North Carolina, the western mountains of Western North Carolina, beautiful place where we did the Eightfold Path retreat. And we are doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat at that same fabulously beautiful location in August. So if people are on the East Coast, if you haven't done the retreat in a while and you think, oh, I just can't make it all the way across country to do that, because I did it, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, it would be great to take the opportunity to do it again. And if you have, you know, people in your life that haven't done it at all but have kind of been on the edge, we're trying to make it close to home.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Western North Carolina in August for There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll be beautiful.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on all these events. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And you enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And here we go.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Linda from Alabama.
Hey, Linda, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, good.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Let's see, what's going on? Lots. I think...
what isn't going on, huh?
Right, exactly. Seems that way. So my mom's living in the same town with me now, and she's 86 years old, and I'm still trying to figure that out. So I guess that's what I want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's interesting. One thing that I was thinking of while I was waiting, was people kind of seem to keep gently telling me that she doesn't really remember anything anymore. And so I'm worried, I don't know exactly if I'm feeling guilty about how much I see her. I can't really decide how much I should see her. Those kind of things. She's staying in an assisted living center, which is 10 minutes away from my house. So I can go, you know, like it's like I can stop by there 3 or 4 times a day if I don't watch out. So
How does she seem when you are there, when you see her?
Oh, she's very happy. Well, she's mostly happy when I see her. I mean, you know, sometimes she'll start asking me. She has like a litany of questions, the same questions that she's sort of focused on. And she'll ask me all those questions, and then sometimes she'll get upset about the fact that she can't remember. Like, what's wrong with my mind? What happened to my mind? And but mostly I can say, well, you know, you're here with me. Let's focus on the now. Let's focus on the now. You're here with me right now. And she'll always go, yeah, I'm glad I'm here with you. You know, she's a real sweet person. But so she'll sort of, I can sort of talk her out of it most of the time. And she's doing better. Like, the longer she's there, the less she's doing the thing where she starts crying and really making me feel bad.
So there are a couple of things about that I think are interesting in the sense of beneficial for all of us to consider, right? So she has, even though her mind is not what it was, she has a litany of questions.
Yes.
Right? So she has the same kind of obsessive focus on these particular topics. Now, I bet most of us wouldn't have to look very far to see ourselves in that.
That's true.
How we focus on the same few things over and over and over. So that's one thing. not to be surprised that that's going to continue on through, and if we don't want it to continue on through, then it would behoove us as quickly as possible to alter that. So you're able, so this is point number two, you're able to assist your mom in getting present. So you can help her redirect her attention from that place that it goes, that kind of obsessive place that it goes, And you're able to help her redirect her attention to the present, to being with you and what's going on with you now and that sort of thing. Now, there's another thing that it would be really important for each of us to learn how to do and get really good at. Because, because if where we live is now, if we're not off in conditioned mind with this series of questions and concerns that we live in, if we really are focused on being here now, then when here now is all that's available to us, it won't be a shock and it won't make us unhappy. In fact, it'll just be where we live.
Right. So it's a really good reason to get there, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And the third thing, I said there were a couple, but the third thing is, I do this every time I get a chance to be with a group of people, and that's to demonstrate how easily we can be talked into an unhappy / depressed, despairing place, and how easily we can be talked into a state of happiness and well-being just by repeating certain well-chosen words. I suppose maybe it's kind of the what hypnotists or mesmerizers caught on to, how repeating certain words and phrases set up a scenario. And it's either pleasant for people or it's unpleasant for them. Now, that's what's going on with us all the time, right? And so, yeah, so the same thing is, it's what you're doing with your mom. Same thing is true with us, right? So, again, if we realize that we want to teach ourselves to be able to direct our attention where we actually want to live, not content, but process of where we want to live, it's inspiring for us. And it's lovely that you have the practice that you have that enables you to assist your mother in that way.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to how I got myself to call you today.
Uh-huh.
What happens when I try to call is I start, I have too many things to do. I just kind of stressed about what am I going to talk about and just the whole anxiety of it all. And the way I got myself to do it today is every time that started, I said to myself, I'm just calling because I love talking to Sherry.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
It was amazing. I didn't stress about it all day.
Yeah. So simple. So straightforward. So simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just cuts
it
through
like,
all of that.
You're sitting here with me. You know, look at the blue sky. You're sitting here with me. You know, that thing. So if I could just do that to myself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
more. Yeah.
There's no situation in which it is not more helpful to be directing our attention to the simple what is so in the present. You know, that's always going to be a better choice than going off into conditioned mind with its past and its future and it's what's wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, go ahead.
Well, the amount of time to spend with her. Question. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, in the one hand, I think, it's a simple answer, but.
What is it?
The simple answer is however much time I want to, but it's like I get noodling about it, I guess.
Well,
like there's
and
a part of me that wants to spend a bunch of time with her because I really enjoy her company. And then there's a part of me that doesn't want to spend any time with her, which I think could be interesting.
Yeah, so that's, life would be simple for all of us if we could just say, well, you know, I'll just do what I want to do.
Right.
But we don't know what that is.
Who
am I in this moment, and what does that I want to do? So I would go at it in a little different direction. First of all, I would put out of business the person who is too busy and doesn't want to spend time with her. I think I would just invite them to stay home and do whatever it is that they're interest is while I go and visit because you've already established that you enjoy her. Okay. But the thing that would be important to me about it is that there's no guilt.
The guilt?
Yeah, no guilt.
No guilt. I'm working
just,
on that. Not...
Yeah, there's just no no guilt. We're just not having that conversation. If I go 50 times a day, if I go once a month, there is no conversation about how I should be doing this.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to get the warrior on that one.
Uh-huh.
None.
Yeah.
No guilt.
Yeah. So, it's one of those places where I really use recording and listening. If I were working on that one, I would have recordings about that just repeated, no guilt. I'm not entertaining guilt. No conversations about guilt. I would have recordings about why I'm not entertaining guilt, about how useless it is and how destructive and detrimental to everybody involved. I'd be spending a lot of time. I think I would intersperse those with if I were you, you know, what a great job I'm doing, you know, point out, you know, and then what a great job my mother's doing and has done,
right.
You know, that we are truly good, kind, loving, compassionate people, and we don't entertain guilt. That would be the focus.
Just don't do that. Okay, I like it. All right, I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, and just fill up your head with it.
Okay, no guilt, and these are the reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one of those interesting places where, so I don't visit my mother, and then I feel guilty about that. Well, how the heck does that help my mother?
Right. Either go visit her or don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, because, you know, then I'm with her, And I have a habit of being guilty, so I'm listening to voices talk to me about how I should visit her more, and I'm listening to them when I could be actually here with her visiting her, which is where I am.
And then if she says something that makes me feel guilty, you know, I might snap. Or,
right, exactly.
If I didn't feel guilty, I would just be like, I could just laugh. So.
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly like that, yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, you let us know how it goes, okay? Don't let those voices talk you into not calling, because, boy, we always need support from Sangha, and times like these, we really need support from Sangha.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
all right.
It.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Good night.
Bye. Night.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And there are more callers here, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Zoe.
Hey, Zoe. Hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm calling because I wanted to call.
That's an excellent reason, isn't it? I can't think of a better one. What's going on?
Well, there's all kinds of things going on, and also nothing at the same time. Like there is no content in my life right now, zero content, which is pretty, it's actually pretty cool because then, I can sort of watch what happens.
Yes. Yes.
Without, you know, believing the story of, because there is no story because there's no content.
Yes, and yet the process of what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate attempts to do just goes right on as if it had some content.
Yep, exactly the same process.
Uh-huh.
And so, I've been watching attention and awareness and feeling like that expanded awareness has been, you know, contracting a little here, a little there, a little more, and so there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does do that, doesn't it? Now, of course, Zoe, the interesting part for me about that is the expanded awareness, you get information from somewhere, that the expanded awareness is contracting.
I know, where is that information?
Exactly, because if it were contracting, would it occur to you to be able to take in an awareness of that assessment?
Yes, I know, and I've thought of that, like, well, how do I know that? And then what answered was like, well, that's just how it feels, you know, but it's a good point. I mean, I know. I mean, that's a good point. How do I know? Like, if it just seems like that's how it feels. So.
And that's such a beautiful place to do a little reflecting. so then you say to that response, okay, so. So that's how it feels. It feels like the awareness is contracting. Now, probably the response would be, yeah, that's how it feels. Well, what does that feel like? What can you describe the feeling? And I bet things get really quiet at about that point.
You mean like on a sensation level, how does that feel? Or on an experiential level, how does that feel?
Somebody is putting this forth as something that you should accept, believe, go along with. And so what are they basing it on, this person who just feels that? What do you mean just feels that? So, you know, so I say to you, you know, I feel like you're not as really present to me as you used to be. and you say, well, really? What do you mean? Well, you know, I just feel like you're not as present. And then you say, well, can you give me an example? Well, it's just a feeling. Really, where are you feeling that feeling? Because we're getting into a whole big thing here. So let's drag that feeling out and put it under the microscope and find out if we ought to really all go in this direction.
Yeah.
And about then, nobody has anything to say. Because, in fact, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or another fun direction is to say, oh, what if you're right? Okay, I'm going to spend, I think I'll make tomorrow a session morning so I can get up early and sit and then do walking meditation, another sitting meditation, and then I'll fix myself breakfast and do another sit. And then I will go for a long hike and with my recorder. And because, you know, I don't want to take a chance on awareness decreasing.
That's funny because I actually had that idea to do that tomorrow.
And did you get any resistance?
Oh, well, yeah, it was like, but you have to do these, like, two things. And I'm like, oh, but, you know, really, I don't have to do them tomorrow. I could actually do them Friday or even Thursday. So there was resistance, but this is good because then maybe that is what I should just do tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll just do a little retreat day. Thank you. Let's get that awareness expanding again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really
good.
Helpful.
Oh, good.
It seems really real because that seemed like the quality of the experience, you know, and it just seemed really believable.
Well, and the principle behind that for everybody to apply to our own content. So. So if we go with that one, the information comes in that I've had this expanded awareness and now it seems to be contracting. So what I'm doing then is giving my attention to that information. So technically,
mm-hmm.
we could agree.
Mm-hmm.
My awareness has contracted. It's gone
mm-hmm.
right down to the whole focus of everything is on that
mm-hmm.
statement and that concern and, oh, my God, what if it's true and what should I do? And now all of my attention and awareness is going to karmic conditioning. So, yeah, the world has gotten really small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when I check in again, I should go along with it and say, yeah, wow, it does. Yeah, things seem wow. So then that's the clue for us to say, all right, great. So let's get. Let's get attention on awareness then. Now, what's the most expansive thing that awareness exercises that I could do? And set up a time and do those and see what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes, huh?
I will. I need to check in often. It's kind of,
I love to hear about private retreat days. You know, not people just don't do them often enough, mostly because we get an avalanche of resistance at the mere thought. You know, I'm too busy, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm burned out, take a day off and just walk in the woods and take your recorder. I can't do that. I'm too busy. There's so much going on. I can't. Yeah. So we just, you know, call it bluff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
Excellent. I'm going to go.
Thanks,
Zoe.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Rexford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Janice from Vancouver.
Well, good evening.
Long time
no talk with.
You know, the sun is shining, and it's absolutely beautiful. And taking great care of my body, I started maybe last May doing a lot of practice with yoga and fitness. And I noticed even this morning going down, I start with an early stretch class a couple of days a week, 7 to 8, and I walk there. I noticed conditioning yammering on. Saying, well, you know, it's really too beautiful. You shouldn't go today. And all week it was saying it was too wet and rainy or snowy or something. You shouldn't go today. And I thought, oh, this is so funny.
Yeah, this is perfect.
This is perfect because, you know, that's what I do. I go.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, the application is just enormous, isn't it?
It is.
Because those voices always have something we should or shouldn't do. And of course, I would say the main thing we should do is ignore them, and the thing we shouldn't do is believe them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess I'm really excited about the email and the whole year-long thing because it's following through this, for me, it's supporting me of what I was trying to get into last year around May, was paying attention to my body so I could pay more attention to the actual sensations and understand how I label or mislabel them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And actually be supportive of the body instead of ignoring it until the voices start about what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for the last 3 weeks, I've been surprisingly tired and sort of fatigued. I'm not doing anything different. And I noticed then conditioning getting really, all sorts of things that was going to say about that reasons. And I thought, you know, perhaps it's okay. I've just checked out the basic things. Is my iron okay? You know, because you know, I am vegetarian. Well, maybe I'm not getting enough. Well, just check it out, you know. But, you know, I realize, like, I don't think I have to know what's causing. This could just be a coming and a going thing and just not fall into a whole story about it other than just continue to take care and pay attention.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, we all have our level of comfort about that, and so I would never want to talk anybody into anything that made them nervous or feel irresponsible, but I've noticed over the years that those kinds of things just come and go constantly. My favorite one, you've probably heard me rant about this, is people get to a certain age and they go out and buy glasses. And if they would just wait, they would begin to watch how their vision gets really good, and then it's not as strong, and then it'll come back and it'll get really good again, and then it's not as strong. And if we race out and get glasses at the first sign of it's not as strong, then of course our vision deteriorates for the rest of our lives. But if we just realize that sometimes eyes, like all other muscles, get tired, they get fatigued, and then for whatever reason they gain strength again, and away we go. Don't we just, you know, take a little bit different care of things under those circumstances? Sometimes you need a little more sleep. Sometimes it's a change of season. Days are different lengths. The sun is doing different things. You're maybe eating a different food based on that. And so, yeah, just notice.
Yeah.
Don't jump to conclusions, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Which is what conditioning always wants to do. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean, and what should I do?
I was sort of doing a lifetime practice of looking for meaning in things. So it's kind of quite, I don't know, it feels kind of counterintuitive the way I used to always operate, and it's so refreshing to drop meaning.
So relaxing. Yeah.
Relaxing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, what if this is the beginning of some dread disease and I only have 6 months to live?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really want to enjoy this class this morning. And, hey, I don't want to miss an inch of this walk to it on this beautiful morning.
Oh, yeah. So I want to say something about Sangha is that, you know, I have so much mudita or spontaneous joy for the Sangha, and how it, even when I can't do things, like I was so excited for, you know, to hear about the retreat going to be happening in North Carolina, and my heart, I wanted to go there, but I thought, wow, you know, people get to go, or I'm on the phone, and I'm, you know, every week I'm on the phone phoning in, but if I don't get on, I'm just thinking, oh my God, I'm so happy to hear these people. That was fabulous what they're saying. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's like this spontaneous joy. And I was actually away in a small town out of the country, and I was trying to do the at-home retreat with the recording and listening, and it was all set up with Skype and everything. Something happened that I couldn't phone in. I needed something else. So I spent the entire day just set up my own schedule, recording and listening, but knowing that Sangha was all doing it. And then at 5 o'clock, I walked and I thought, well, I'll find someplace nearby where I will meditate and reflect. And I did. And it was just like, I had a great day with Sangha, knowing everybody was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. We're not alone, are we?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the last thing I just wanted to say with that just do it.
Uh-huh.
Remember for a long time what was really, really helpful for me was just show up.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm really looking at, you know, I show up and just follow the directions. I would know that I would show up, but then I would want to be tweaking things or do a little shortcut or something. And if I just actually really follow the directions, like look at the blog today, read, oh yeah, if I'm doing that, or do I want to do this? Like,
uh-huh.
Let follow the directions. And the direction is to record and listen, or to do, you know, or whatever else, you know. And I realize that I mess around with the directions, and I, you know, but if I just follow the directions, you know, it's easy.
Well, and that's a profound teaching that you are articulating. as you know, around our practice, we encourage people not to have better ideas. And the reason that not having better ideas is such a big part of our practice is that when we're having better ideas, we assume we know what's going on.
Yeah.
That we know what's going on and we know a better way to do it or a better way to say it or think about it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the other piece of that is that as you say, you know, I show up and I follow the directions, I actually have a chance to see what I don't know, what I have been assuming I know or understand that, in fact, I don't. And that's just, that opens up a place to look that is so huge. There, I don't know words to describe it or ways to approach it. You know, Michael sort of touched on it earlier, that when I'm not going with conditioned mind and it's better ideas and it's shortcuts and it's this is that, figuring it out and all of that sort of thing, I really have a chance to be informed by life. And there's just nothing like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for showing me that.
Mm. Well, thanks for bringing it up. Take care of yourself, huh?
Oh.
That's right. You will.
Yes.
That's how we started the conversation. We know you will.
I got to follow that instruction.
Right. All right. Thanks, Janice.
Michael and Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. We are a blessed group of people, Sherry.
Aren't we?
We're just incredibly so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yep.
And let's hear from another one of those blessed people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Well, hello.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
Good, good. We missed you.
I know. I really wanted to come to the precepts retreat, but it was the opening week of my practice.
Yes.
Of my office practice that I've been working
yes.
on opening
yes.
the past.
I actually read that, and I was excited that to learn that it's come together and you've got an office and you've got a practice going and it was launching, and I couldn't feel, you know, I couldn't feel too bad that you didn't ditch them and come to us, but maybe
well,
next
it was
year.
The one time in the whole process that I actually wanted a delay because I said, oh, if there's a delay, then I'm going to the retreat.
And they've been delaying you for months and months and months, right?
I know. It was really the only time that I was really kind of like, wow, I hope there's a delay because then I can go to the retreat. Yeah. Well, things are going well. It's been a lot to practice over and very insightful types
uh-huh.
of things.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've been trying to get on for several weeks now, and what started it was that there's so much going on that, you know, those conditionings having those racing thoughts, oh, you need to remember to do this and that type of thing. And
mm-hmm.
At times it can be very anxiety provoking. And I said, okay, I need to call in and touch base with Sherry. And then what clicked in and fell into place, kind of the voice of that compassionate coach, was actually your voice saying, this would be an excellent time to record and listen. It worked. I mean, I listened to the reassurances and everything, and when that kind of racing feeling of everything spinning out of control and there's so much to do, and I was not doing things, I was more listening to conditioning and stuff, I clicked on that reassurances, and I have hours of the stuff, I really do, and it really let go of that anxiety energy, and so that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually talk to you. It was like it clicked in anyway.
Uh-huh.
And that was interesting to to experience.
You know, along with that, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that because I know well that kind of energy and the importance of having a calm voice that you can trust to kind of talk you down and talk you through it. The other thing that I really like about recording and listening is for those 10 billion details that are dropping in and coming through every day, and to be able to have a recording that I can just go to and add, you know, remember this, don't forget to call, you need to order, you know, whatever it is. And then when I have time and I'm actually at a desk or somewhere where I can make something happen, then I can just play that recording, listen to all of those details, take them down, and I have freed up all of that space where conditioned mind would want to have me going over and over and over and over something so that I'm sure not to forget it. In the meantime, of course, I'm focused on this thing that it's telling me, it's getting me to obsess about so I won't forget it, and I've just lost track of everything else in life in the meantime.
It's a tactic. It does the same thing to me. In fact, there was a pattern of it really nagging me about stuff I needed to do at the time where I cannot do anything about it. When I'm driving and I'm washing my hair, or when I'm, you know, walking the dog, it's just hammering me with this kind of to-do list, don't forget this, don't forget that. And that's exactly what I've done, is I've started recording it. And then I tell it, good, thank you, I've recorded it, so we don't need to discuss it anymore.
I got it, thank you.
I've got it, thank you. And so it is a wonderful technique, and it really has, certainly any new endeavor can be extremely anxiety-provoking, but it has been a calm kind of pleasure to approach it and look at the process and say, okay, I see this process, and this is what I think I'm going to do about it, and not panic over it. It's mm-hmm. been such a relief.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I think that the uses, that's a good word, for recording and listening are something that we're just beginning to tap. All of the ways that it can be applied, that it can be of benefit to people. I was talking with somebody yesterday about introducing it to pregnant women. And as a way of soothing and comforting and reassuring and having a conversation. So not necessarily people who are practicing, but are practiced, but just who would like to be introduced to that sort of self-mentoring and have access to a calm, soothing, comforting, reassuring presence in their life as they go through that really stressful time. Be good for mother, good for baby, and then to have it for young mothers, you know, to record and listen with their babies, and then like that. So I think it's it just has enormous application.
Well, and you know, I always had encouraged moms to journal their experience as they go through it. But you're right. There's something about recording, saying it.
Yeah.
Listening to it that is very different than writing it and reading it.
Yes, and the other thing about that, we're all such busy people. So trying to find time, and of course, after you've had the baby, forget time to journal, right?
Oh, yes.
But if you can record and listen while you're walking the floor, while you're rocking the baby or, you know, whatever it is, mom's soothed, baby is soothed, you know, the whole family is happier. So hopefully you'll pass that along to them, get a little new mom baby clinic going with recording and listening.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that I have noted is how much in sync the Sangha is and kind of what's going on with me. And maybe it's a projection, but this year and this upping your game is very much kind of where I am and just what I needed at this particular time. And the health and fitness email class is also something that I've needed. And I'll tell you something else that's happened that's really in sync. You wrote in the guide's corner on the newsletter about a visit to the chiropractor and about different things with that. And mm-hmm. it was the same day that I was going to see the chiropractor for the first time regarding something. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm really interested in what Sherry has to say about this and these new things or changes and that process that we get into about starting something new that's going to cure all your aches and pains or right. whatever kills you.
Yeah.
And yeah. and it's just such a process that it's like, you know, yes, I'm going to take care of myself. Yes, I think this helps. But I really don't want to get into that conditioned cul-de-sac again about this is going to, you know, be, you know,
yeah.
fix everything and everything will be great after this. It just seems like a setup. And so, but it was interesting that we were kind of in that same kind of mindset about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember what he said about it is that it was that whole thing about, it's not that bad. It doesn't hurt that bad. And that we would be content to leave our bodies in a state of pain, of discomfort that is definitely distracting and attention getting because it's not that bad. My goodness, when we have the ability really to take care of ourselves. You know, again, back to kids, you know, if we have or an animal, you know, we wouldn't probably say about one of our children or about a pet that we care about, you know, well, yeah, you know, she's in pain, but I don't think it's that bad. We wouldn't do that. And yet with ourselves, we will listen to conditioning, take this dismissive attitude, like somehow we're not worth it or we don't have enough time or enough energy or enough whatever to actually take care of ourselves. But as the Buddha pointed out, this body is the vehicle for awakening. We just got to have it. And we really need to treat it with respect and care and loving kindness the way it deserves to be treated. Because, by golly, in spite of what we do, it's good to us.
Yeah, yeah. And that connection with the body is something I lost in the past and I'm reconnecting. And it's such a joyful experience. But really,
yeah.
I almost had to attack my breathing and my health to the point that I would listen to it. So I'm looking forward after this 24 hours doing the two-chair experience and seeing what the body has to say to me now.
Yeah, we're all kind of cringing, aren't we? Oh, I hope I get a good report. At least you know that I'm doing better.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be gratitude that, wow, you know, this is so much better than 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, good.
And so, you know, I'm very appreciative of my body and going from not being able to walk to the end of the street without wheezing to walking miles and you know, doing some pretty athletic things. I mean, it's really exciting. It's like, wow, I can breathe
good.
And I can move. I mean, it's a wonderful experience. So
yeah.
This
oh,
is a
I'm
good
glad. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. That's inspiring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get a good report. I actually think I'm going to get a pretty good report, too. But, yeah, it might have a couple of points to make that I get to pay attention to.
Yeah. And it's going to like having the recorder to tell me what it thinks. So it's
mm-hmm.
a very
cool process, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to hear your voice. And thank you for checking in.
Oh, thank you.
Let us know how you're doing.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's about 5:55. Would you like to take one?
Oh, more? Let's try it.
Okay. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live. live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon Michael. It's Greta.
Hi.
Hey, Greta. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's going on?
I laugh because I often get on at 5:55.
Yeah, you and I think it's Sandra, isn't it, who are tied for last place here on open air.
Well, I would echo the last caller and just say that synchronicity is impressive. I've been kind of going through a lot of looking at a lot of different things in a lot of different ways and upping my game, mostly because I let my game slide pretty far. But as I've been looking at things, it's amazing what life reveals and how then, like, your blog came out, and it's just, like, right there.
So it has that feeling, I'm projecting here, that each step we're given what we need in that step to prepare us to take the next step.
Yeah, exactly. So even completely going off the rails is all part of that process, because that opportunity to really see can, you know, I think it's because even though I wasn't practicing for a while and I went very, you know, I got very identified, I still have the ability to associate some with awareness. And so I could see what was happening even though I wasn't practicing hard enough to get myself away from that conditioned state of mind.
Yes, yeah. And you're right. Sometimes it's really necessary for us to get what the stakes are.
Exactly.
Really to get it. Yeah.
And now what I'm seeing about choosing the life experience I want, I was telling my coach that before I was kind of, you know, focusing my attention or, you know, trying to come back to what I want from my life, it wasn't experiential. And it was often the way I looked at the world, it was kind of like, well, I don't want that. But now I'm really able to start refocusing, and, you know, it ties right into the blog as, well, that constant devotion, that ever-expanding faith, that reconnection with life, that's what I want. And it's experiential, it's tangible. I know it for what it is, having had the blessed, you know, the blessed, happy opportunity to have that experience in the past. And now I can have it, you know, I mean, I can have it anytime, but to really get, like, fully sucked into conditioning's lair and really see, you know, that fire and brimstone for what it is, it was pretty enlightening to just feel it in, you know, feel how I act out of it, and then say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in that place. I really have to choose, not, you know, choose other than.
Yeah. And there's no, I shouldn't be that way. It's a heartfelt, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to listen to those voices. That's, I don't want that.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I guess it's the other the other thing I've seen is how my, you know, part of my basic orientation, you know, there's always something wrong, and the way I'm looking at the world is, well, I don't know what I want, but it's not that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just all hogwash. I really do know what I want.
You're using technical terms now, but I understand them.
And if I'm not in conditioning and if I'm relating to life, I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
And then I just want to.
And we could actually say, I know exactly what I want, and it's not that.
Yeah.
I don't
right.
want hellfire and brimstone, thank you very much. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want that. I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, so it was really helpful this morning. Even before I read the blog post, conditioning started going off about something, And I was actually given the opportunity to have the peace and calm that I wanted. There was nobody around. I had the morning to myself. And conditioning was complaining about how I can never have the morning to myself.
Oh, okay. I love it when it goes too far.
Yeah, I just said, I choose.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm very, very grateful that, you know, it's just one of those places in practice where, you know, I mean, in some religions and some practices, if you go off the rail, you're never allowed back in.
Yeah. Thank God like we that. Have, there's no excommunication. There's no,
right.
We're always, thank goodness, if we can get back to the moment, we're welcome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
deep gratitude for all the practice that's offered to you and Michael.
Well, thank you.
Oh, and yes, virtual meditation. I'll put in my
plug
for that, too. I'm enjoying that. Yep, it's really helping set my week.
Excellent. Excellent. Yep. I love it. All right. Well, thank you for the good news.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You've been
listening. Aren't we glad we did that?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
Yeah.
Great Sangha experience tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.